The holidays are coming up, which means it's a fun time to reunite with friends and also meet some new people. If you are feeling a little rusty when it comes to striking up conversations with strangers, you are not alone, and we are here to help. We published this episode in March 2022, and we are republishing it because it's even more relevant now that we are heading into Thanksgiving and the holiday season. In this episode, we're excited to share tips that'll help you better enjoy meeting new people. We'll share ideas about things you can do as a guest before the event, during the event, and after the event, as well as things you can do as the host. We'll also share ideas for tricky situations, like how to gracefully exit a conversation that's getting a bit awkward. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, a space where two Asian American women share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Tan. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. We share episodes every Sunday, and after tuning in, be sure to check us out on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass for highlights from this episode that you can share with your friends. Oh my goodness. Sophia, did you think you were a good converser before the pandemic?
I actually have a lot of social anxiety. And so before going to a party or an event, like on my way walking there, I would think about who's going to be there. What are some questions I can fall back on in case things get awkward? And then I think once I get there, I project a lot of confidence and I'm pretty naturally curious. So once I get in the groove of things, I think I'm okay. But I still feel a lot of social anxiety when meeting people for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. But interestingly, I noticed that when you stayed over with me in LA, I noticed that you are actually very friendly with strangers, which is something I wouldn't have known about you from just talking to you on episodes and not getting to see you in real life. But I agree. I feel like I did a very conscious reinventing of myself in college where I was like, I'm going to be social and I'm going to learn how to be social. And so this episode is very interesting because I have never quite tangibly put to words tips or tricks or things that I do to keep a conversation going or to spark up a conversation that not only is, you know, scratching the surface, but also dives a little bit deeper so that you have an interaction and a relationship that is meaningful once you leave the event or the venue. So I'm excited for our listeners to see if they do some of these things, if they are going to try any of these things too. And so, Sophia, when you say you've had social anxiety, what events do you find yourself most often going to? And especially, which are the ones that cause the most social anxiety?
Ooh, if it's like a birthday party and I know the host, but not many of their friends, that's really anxiety inducing because I don't know that many people. And I also don't want to burden the host to introduce me and make me feel comfortable. And so I think I feel like kind of nervous and like I have to fend for myself almost. With extended family, I don't feel as anxious just because I think with family, it's okay to be awkward. Like no one's judging you if you're awkward. For networking events, I also feel okay about those because there's a very specific reason that everyone's gathering. And it's okay to show my professional self. And it's almost kind of nice to put on an act a little bit and to know what side of myself I can focus on showing. So those are three scenarios and kind of my differing levels of anxiety. How about you?
Yeah, so this might sound weird, but working on set, I think, has a lot of similar experiences to the events that you just described, because set oftentimes is a finite amount of time that you are spending with a group of people, which is very different from working in an office where you're indefinitely working with the same people. I feel like when you're indefinitely working with the same people, there's no rush to like get to know people. But on set, there is some desire to want to connect with these people because you know there is a time frame in which you get to be with them, but also at the same time, you're working. Like, set is stressful. And so how do you sneak in those conversations and establish those relationships with people in a way where you know that you will stay in touch or stay in contact afterwards? But even then, I think there's a lot of value in having a meaningful conversation, even if it doesn't lead to a lasting relationship. And so I think there is a difference there. And I think our focus today is more on how to have like a good time at the event that you are attending and also how can you set yourself up for potential long-lasting relationships? But
yes.
For your events, do you feel like there are tips that apply across the board for you?
Yes, definitely. And I'm excited to All dive right. into them.
Let's do it. Okay. So the first thing that I think of when it comes to like social anxiety, we're planners. Let's be honest. We've run this podcast for over 3 years. Clearly we are planners. I'm already thinking about what do I do before the event? What are some things that you keep in mind or that you try to do to, again, set yourself up for success before the event begins?
I try to understand the intent of the event. So what is the mind space that other people are going to be coming in with? What are they going to want to get out of it? And what do I want to get out of it? And how can I kind of, you know, how can all those things align nicely together? So for example, one way I can learn more is I can ask the host, oh, why did you decide to invite this particular group of people? For example, if it's a birthday party, maybe the host will say, oh, I wanted to bring together my friends from home and my friends from college, my friends from work. And that kind of already gets your mind, you know, thinking about like what kinds of people are going to be there. You can also start brainstorming like, oh, what might I have in common with these people? For example, it's like, oh, maybe there's a group of people who recently moved to Seattle. So we can kind of talk about like, hey, where were you before? What's it like being here now? Or we can, something like a fun, silly icebreaker question I like to ask is, does anyone have some funny or like embarrassing childhood stories of this person? And that's kind of like a funny way to get people talking and for people to talk and share something without the spotlight being on themselves. And I think that often opens up the conversation a bit. So
I see.
Those are all ways that you can understand the intent of the event and how that can play into the way you decide how to have the conversation.
What if this host isn't that intentional? Like they, you know, just have set up this time and place where they're hosting things and they're like inviting whoever is on their radar. And so there doesn't seem to be a through line or theme to this event. What do you do in those situations? Or have you been in those situations where the intent isn't very clear on the host part?
I have definitely been in that situation. I have some ideas for what you can do during the event, and I'll get to those later. But I wanted to hear, like, for you, how do you understand what the event's going to be about, whether you want to go, and what intentions you want to set?
I definitely think that setting your own intention is really important. There are so many events that are always going on, and especially in the time of COVID, I find myself being a lot pickier about which events I'm going to go to because it depends a lot on like how much I trust folks that are going there, like what value I will be getting out of it, and I have to be very clear about that value. So it can be things like, what kind of people would you like to connect with? Is it people from your industry? Is it people who are really close to the host? What kind of dynamic or vibe do you want to experience? Because maybe it is a networking event that you're going to, but maybe the vibe that you want is that you've just had a really bad day and you just want to have a fun time and have lighthearted conversations. And I think that's important to be able to differentiate that and know that you are able to experience those things, even if that's not the same intent that the host has. And so I think that is always very valuable to think about because yes, we want meaningful relationships, but meaningful relationships and conversations can look very different across the board. It can be ones like we have on the podcast episode. It can be like one of our most recent episodes of teaching each other languages like that. That could very well happen even if we're at a networking event, you know? And so just being clear about what intentions you have is really, really important. Also, is this event open to for you to invite other people? I definitely appreciate accountability with close friends. And so if there is an option for me to bring someone and to invite someone else that I know, maybe consider bringing someone along and have that be the accountability person. Because I know for me, if it's an event that I have independently decided to go to, I will spend all my waking hours leading up to the time that I need to leave to go to the event, wondering if I should back out. So if I have someone who I know is going, then it's like, okay, I've made this commitment, I've made this promise to a really good friend or someone that I trust.
Oh, I love this. Okay, this is all great before the event prep. What about on the way to the event and like arriving at the event? How do you think about the first impression that you want to give off?
I think on the way, I think thinking about even just the way that I want to dress is a big factor. Mm-hmm. Like, do I want to be comfortable? Is it something that I want to attract attention to? So I think even the way that you show up externally is really important. I also think about, again, what kind of vibe do I want to experience? If I want to have a lighthearted experience, then I probably want to come off a little bit lighthearted. Or if I really want to, you know, have deep conversations, maybe I put more of that depth into the words that I say. And I think when you greet people, you can't take the delivery of your greeting for granted, because there's a difference between saying, it's good to see you, versus it's really, really good to see you. I think there's a big difference, and people respond to that delivery as well, even though the words are pretty much exactly the same. Words of affirmation can go a long way, but even the way that you say it can be a huge leap. And those are words of affirmation that you can give to anyone. It doesn't just have to be to people that you know. And so I think that's an easy blanket thing that you can do, even if you're around a lot of people that you don't know personally.
Oh, I love how you use like the way you dress as a way to kind of embody the vibe that you want to give off. I'm realizing that I sort of did that unconsciously or subconsciously. I really like wearing heeled like leather boots, just like with my outfits, but I will rarely wear those to like a casual friend hangout, especially if I'm meeting people for the first time, just because I think the boots make me a bit taller than I already am. And I think I don't want to come off as like, too, I don't want to say too polished, but I don't want to come off as like too serious, especially in Seattle. So that's why I always wear like my plain white sneakers, and I will probably never wear my boots unless I'm with my close friends.
Yeah. I know that people might say that, oh, no one's going to like, you should wear whatever you want. Like, people don't care about what people are going to say about you. But I think what's important here is that how you perceive yourself. And so like, if I'm going to perceive myself like while wearing those booties as like, I'm a little bit more polished and like people, I feel like I'm to be taken seriously, but I actually want to go for more of a casual, lighthearted approach. And maybe the booties like might not be the best choice for you if you decide, if you deem it that way. And so I think that embodiment has to be aligned with yourself. It doesn't really matter so much of whether or not people will actually perceive you in that way.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you have any tips for, you know, you mentioned birthday parties or settings where you do know folks, have heard of folks. Do you have any tips of like what you can do ahead of time, like as you're on your way to the event?
I try to remember notable things that people have mentioned to me before or like have chatted with me about before. Or I try to think of what is something that they've shared on social media publicly that they've shared that I can comment on. For example, if they posted a story about them being in a different city or trying a really good restaurant, and if things get kind of awkward, I can mention like, oh my gosh, like, for example, Michelle, like I saw you were at this really cool restaurant. Like, where was that? Like, would you recommend it? I try to comment on things that are more fun and that people would be really excited to talk about. Like, you know, a restaurant's like very neutral and easy to talk about, right? I probably wouldn't ask like, oh, I saw that you were with your family. How was that? You know, that can be a little bit more touchy. I know it sounds a little bit scripted maybe that I'm like putting so much intention, but hey, I'm kind of a more anxious person and doing this mental prep work helps me. So I do it.
I really like the tip about looking on what they've posted publicly on social media, because that kind of signals to you that this person felt comfortable enough to share this online. And so that this is, you know, up for grabs to be able to be a starting point of a conversation. And so there's not a lot of second guessing of like whether this person would want to talk about it, versus if you heard something about this person from someone and they're like, hey, like, by the way, you might end up making the other person feel uncomfortable because they didn't know that you were aware of that aspect of their life.
Totally.
Yeah. And so it's always a safe bet to go for things that they've shared publicly on social media. Like if there's a general theme that they tend to host a lot of game nights, you can talk about the game nights. Or if it's like you have a shared interest in a group, a band or a group that you both really like, then you can mention that. Be like, hey, I know you like this group. I also really like this group. And I like this particular song that they've covered or that they've performed. One other thing that comes to mind that I can get anxious about is remembering people's names. Do you have any tips around names?
if there's like a Facebook event, I will always look at the RSVPs beforehand just to get a sense of pairing a name with the face. And then after the event, I will add people on Facebook or follow them on Instagram, and then they can add me back if they're comfortable with it. And just like seeing the repetition of their name and their face and their social media posts really helps me remember who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in so many events where it's so loud and it can be hard to catch people's names. And sometimes I feel self-conscious about asking for someone's name again. But I think that actually shows that you care enough to want to remember their name. And I know tons of friends who, you know, have acknowledged that they're really bad with names and they're really bad at remembering faces with names. And I think that's a totally valid experience to have. And so by you taking the care to, you know, learn their name and you getting it correct later on, I think that is an extra lasting impression on the person who you're talking to too.
Yeah, like you might as well put in that effort now and it pays off rather than making a mistake or like trying to be suave and trying to pretend like you know their name.
I know, that's always so awkward, pretending to be suave and you actually don't know.
Yeah, and on the flip side, as a host, what you can do is be proactive in referring to people by their name so that everyone who's listening can hear the name again and again.
Yes, for sure, for sure. All right. Now, let's say we've arrived at this event. We've arrived on set to work. We've arrived at the networking event. We've arrived at the birthday party. Now you have like hours to kill probably at this event. And let's say conversations aren't really going well. You're kind of like finding yourself to be a wallflower and you don't, you actually like your friend who you hit up to come with you has flaked on you and now you're really all by yourself.
Oh no.
So what do you do? Like, what are things that you can do in order to kind of like muster up the courage to have really good conversations with people?
All right. First thing that I do is, despite being more introverted, I try to join a bigger group so that there's less pressure for each individual person to talk and to contribute to the conversation. And with a bigger group, there's a bigger variety of people. And if the group gets too big, it will naturally split up into smaller conversations. And then you can just follow that and, you know, to add yourself to one of the smaller groups that breaks out. So that was a little bit unintuitive, but I think joining a big group is, it actually eases a lot of that anxiety. If I don't really see groups standing around, or if I don't really feel comfortable joining a group, I will go up to the host and kind of just ask the host, hey, is there anyone in particular you want me to meet? You know, especially if there's, again, back to the question of like, if there's nothing that people have in common, or if I don't know what people have in common, I will ask the host, like, hey, you invited me here. You tell me, who should I be friends with? Who do you want me to meet?
So you do ask this directly to the host?
To the host, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or if I can't get a hold of the host and I'm in this group, I will, and the conversation's kind of like dying down, I might ask, how do you all know the host? And this is a easy way to start finding commonalities, because people might, and it's also an easy way to start learning what people are interested in and what kinds of like social interactions they have with each other. So someone might say like, oh, I know Kevin from basketball. Oh, I know Kevin from my book club. Oh, I know Kevin from work. And so now you're kind of just piecing together all the different friend groups that are here, how people know each other, and a starting point for conversation. Because like, let's say someone says, oh, I met Kevin through this like sports club. I'm like, oh my gosh, like no way. How long have you been playing this sport? Like, where do you play?
It's like, a really good segue into knowing this person's interests and being able to ask a little bit more in depth about that. And then that will maybe naturally get them to ask you, do you play basketball? Like, what interests do you have?
Yes.
That's really smart.
What do you do? When you arrive at your party, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't really know anyone. Where do I begin? Where do you begin?
I begin at the food table if there is food. Because oftentimes people might split off to grab food. And I personally do better in one-on-one settings. And so if there is someone who I catch by themselves and they, you know, are eating the same food as me, let's say, then I'll be like, this is really good, isn't it? And then, you know, start the conversation there. Or if it seems like, or even like little things of like, oh, they might need a napkin. You pass them the napkin. And then you're like, how? And then you can segue into those questions that you have. Yes. Yes. Because sometimes it can feel awkward to just, you know, it's sort of like a cold call or a cold email to just kind of go up to someone and be like, who are you? Like, tell me something about you. You want to be able to make it not feel like an interview for sure. Like, don't we all hate the interviews where they just say, tell me a little bit about yourself. It's like, what, you want me to tell you about the 27 years I've been alive? Like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And so finding something like that can be really, really helpful. I also love to ask recommendations and advice on things. And this may seem kind of serious, but it doesn't have to be serious. And I think what can be so great about this is that it doesn't always have to be related to the theme or the topic of the event. So let's say, again, we're at a networking event. I'm sure, let's say it's like a woman in tech networking event. I'm sure we're probably tired of talking about how we are women in tech, like maybe if this event has been going on for a while. So to kind of change it up, I would say don't be afraid to bring up something in your personal life that can lead to interesting recommendations or advice. It doesn't even have to be super detailed. It can be very casual. So for example, Sophia, my friend, is actually coming into town next weekend. She really loves beaches. Like, what beach do you recommend? Are you a big fan of beaches? Like, what do you recommend doing there? Or, I'm actually going to be flying out to Colorado next weekend. Have you been to Colorado before? Like, are there any, spots that you really recommend, food spots? And then you can naturally bring up your own interests and see how they react to that. I really judge the dynamic and the flow of the conversation based on how people react to what I'm saying. So it does help sometimes to offer up just a little bit about yourself that others may feel like is sort of out of the box of the topic or the theme, but it can actually loosen people up a little bit to be like, oh, okay, like it doesn't have to be so serious all the time.
Ooh, so many interesting things you just said. You mentioned preferring one-on-one conversations with people. Do you ever get nervous that you get boxed into a one-on-one with someone
I don't like?
But like very quickly lose like chemistry with. What happens then?
Go to the bathroom. Get more food. Or if you do know someone, say that, oh, I lost my friend. I need to go find them. It's I think that's also, that also can be used in dating context too. Like if you're on a first date with someone, well, don't people say like, oh, you gotta have your like backup friend who you can dial so that if there's like an emergency or anything, pretend there's an emergency so you can get out of the date really quickly. So something like that too. So just have things in your mind where you're like, okay, this is a sure excuse that I can make and the person, and I can smoothly get out of this conversation because the other person doesn't want to feel like they wasted your time either. And, you know, it's not a waste of time. It's just that it wasn't the right vibe and you got to move on. Honestly, I think bathroom is probably the safest one that I could think of.
Yeah.
Do you have other suggestions? Like what other excuses do you have or segues out of a conversation?
For me, food is a big one. And I love everything that you said about how there's so many opportunities for breaking the ice at the food table. Like, first of all, you can ask her recommendations about food. And if you like, for example, if you see someone with a plate of chips, you're like, oh, like, do you recommend that? Or like, ooh, that looks really good. Like, which flavor did you get? And it's just those like, it's those small moments of like asking for advice in like a very trivial, like lighthearted way, which is good. Or it's like, oh, would you recommend that drink? Or like, oh, should I order that food? People like being asked for their opinion on things, especially if it's like a very trivial and like easy opinion to give. Another thing I try to do is compliment someone. But instead of offering a compliment on how they look, it's more of like something that they wear. So for example, instead of saying like, I like your hair or I like your makeup, like that could be a little bit interpreted like differently, especially depending on your gender. But something that's more neutral is like, oh, I like something that you're wearing. Like I like your shoes. I like your glasses. I like your bracelet. And that's a little bit more safe to compliment just because those things are things that you choose. Whereas like the way your hair looks or the way that your like, I don't know, skin looks, that's like, there's less choice over that.
Yeah. That also can kind of enter some rocky conversations or rocky tones and assumptions that someone might have. There are things that we may not we don't want assumed about us. And if, you know, someone compliments like the shape of my nose, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, most Asians have flat noses. Like, what do you mean? You like my nose, you know, like little things like that. It may not come off as complimentary to the person as you would think it is. And so picking things that they have active agency or control and choice over could be more beneficial to the conversation. These are great, you know, starting points for conversations. Let's say like you round out this whole conversation about the drinks, the place that you're going to, recommendations, and it kind of starts to fizzle out and you're still like, I still want to have a meaningful conversation with this person. Like, what other topics can I talk about? Do you ever dive into a topic, a new topic, or how do you go about easing into some deeper depth of a conversation with someone?
I guess I try to gauge their interests and just ask a lot of questions about their interests. Like, if they play music, I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, how long have you been playing music? Like, have you found a music community here? Or I'll ask them like, oh, especially if it's something like artistic and people might have like a social media account, I'll be like, oh my gosh, are you on TikTok? I would love to support you and follow you. Creating opportunities for people to say good things about themselves or to like talk about something that they might be really proud to talk about, but feel awkward to bring up themselves. Like the TikTok thing is a huge one. Like there's so many times where people are like, secretly like trying to build a following or a community on TikTok, but then of course they're not going to bring it up. But if I bring it up, they're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I'm like kind of shy about this, but I would love to show you my baking, or I would love to show you my music. And so it's just like finding ways to make it easy for other people to like brag about themselves, but it's not bragging because I asked you to brag about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really like that tip. Thinking about how you can mirror that vibe that you are going for. So let's say you do want, you know, a deeper conversation and maybe a little bit more vulnerability in the conversation where you get to learn get to have some more insight into someone's life. I would say then offering up some of that vulnerability yourself might actually be good. So if someone were to even ask, you know, a very basic, how are you doing question, maybe don't just say fine. Maybe say, hey, like, work has been kind of challenging, but I'm trying to find my way through difficult conversations with my manager, or by saying something like, I am unsure of where my career is taking me and I'm still figuring out how to merge my intersections of film and tech, let's say. Then I think you might be surprised because one, this person might actually have some answers for your dilemma that might actually help you. And two, they may even be open to sharing how they relate to the situations that you're in or the contemplations that you have as well. And so by offering up that little bit of vulnerability, you kind of got to see how they respond to that. And if they're going to respond by being willing to also open up in their own way. And that can be, if in that sense, if you want to have a more meaningful conversation, sometimes it's asking a question about the other person or by offering up something more about yourself for them to respond to.
Yeah, I think people are afraid of bringing down the mood of a conversation, but I've never really felt that. Like when someone shares something that's vulnerable, I think it's pretty clear that it takes a little bit of bravery to do that. And in most cases, I think everyone really respects that.
Yeah, for sure. And if, let's say, someone does open up to you and you are having this meaningful conversation, how can you make sure, especially if you're in like a busy, bustling event where, you know, the vibe may be different from what you wanted to experience, how do you make sure that this singular person like really feels seen by you in this space that maybe they weren't expecting to open up or share this particular aspect of themselves?
I would try to kind of position myself to make it easier for them to talk without shouting. So instead of like, maybe instead of standing directly across from each other, maybe I will scoot off to the side where it's a little bit quieter, or I will stand next to them so that instead of like yelling at each other, we're kind of just like speaking side to side with each other. And I also find that with more vulnerable conversation, it's a lot easier to sit side by side with someone than to stand across from someone. Because when you're sitting side by side from someone, you are less conscious of how you look and you're more focused on what you're saying. And like, that's why talk that I think, I mean, my guess is that that's why long talks on a car ride can be so intimate. It's because I'm not looking at your face and kind of like scrutinizing your face. And I know that you can't scrutinize my facial expressions. So all that we can really focus on is each other's voice and what we're saying. So I think even making that shift makes a vulnerable conversation easier to have.
Speaking of which, I think that includes body language. And so I think even mirroring body language that they have. So if they are, you know, if they're like, you know, crossing their arms, you can cross your own arms too. And normally I know people might say that crossing your arms means you're closing yourself off. But I think just subconsciously, it allows the other person to feel some amount of connection to you. And that's why like babies, when they are like the facial expressions that they begin to make are just by copying the facial expressions that they're seeing around them in terms of the types of emotions that people are expressing. And so babies are doing it too, in order to connect with people. And so the same thing can happen in a conversation with someone as they're opening up and just maintaining eye contact. We talked about Song Jia's hypnotic eye contact.
Yes.
Your eye contact doesn't need to be hypnotic, but by showing that this person has your full attention, it'll allow them to potentially open up more and feel like they're being taken care of or that they're being heard in a way that they may have not been expecting at an event with many people around them.
Yeah. So now that we kind of talked about our experience as the people who feel maybe a little bit more vulnerable or anxious in a conversation, what do you do if you're actually the opposite? Like, what do you do if you actually know quite a few people and you want to ensure that the people who know fewer people feel more welcome? Like, what can you do or what do you try to do to make people feel more welcome in the conversation?
Yeah. So that kind of goes into hosting in a way. Like, even if you're not the main host who's invited everyone, you may have more context of a lot of other people compared to some of the others who are coming into this event, which puts you in sort of a facilitating hosting position. So one option is, of course, going to talk to the person yourself, and you are probably more at ease such that you can have a conversation, you can lead them into a conversation. Or the second thing could be, you already know something about this person. Like, let's say you know that they are a big basketball fan. You know one of your friends who's here who's also a big basketball fan. You bring the other person along and say, hey, like, I don't know if you knew this, but Brian's a really big basketball player. He's a big Lakers fan. Are you a Lakers fan? And then they can kind of hit it off in that way by you connecting them based on shared interests that you know exist. Otherwise, if there's like an activity that's happening, a shared activity, I will make it a point to at least go ask like, hey, we're doing a puzzle over here. Would you want to join us for this? And I think that if the activity feels like it's lower stakes, and similarly, if it's in a bigger group, more often than not, people are willing to come join. And if they say no, you can choose to either, depending on how they respond, you can choose to stay with the person so that they're not just by themselves. Or if it seems like they kind of need some space, you let them be and then maybe come back to them at a later time in a way. Yeah.
I like these. I think building on that idea of bringing people together, one thing I try to do is if I see someone attempting or like kind of like getting closer and closer to the circle where we're standing, I will step back and kind of encourage and to kind of encourage other people to also step back and invite them in. Or I'll even just like stand off to the side a little bit and catch them up on who's in the circle, what we've been talking about, just so that they're entering with more context.
I would also kind of going back to the food table thing where I was like, like maybe I will like pass over a napkin because the other person needs a napkin. Maybe I'll even ask them for like a small favor to start off the conversation. So if I'm at the food table and there's someone else who I've noticed hasn't really been interacting with people, I'll be like, hey, would you mind passing me the napkins over there? They pass me the napkins, and that already gave an opening to have a conversation.
I love that. And I love that you're giving people an easy in into the conversation, which is what we do on our podcast too. Like when our first question for our guest is often a question that's very easy for them to answer. It's like, where are you calling in from? Right. It's much easier to answer than something like, how are you? How was your day? That's like, oh my gosh, how much information do you want?
For sure. So let's say that the event is ending. Everyone is heading back to their cars. Everyone's heading back home. And let's say this event was teeming with so much energy that there was never a chance to grab contact info from one another. There was never a time to really like nice, neatly tie a bow on the conversations that you've had because you've been kind of bouncing around left and right. And let's also just assume that maybe you didn't know anyone at this event and you had a really good time. What do you usually do at the end of an event to kind of like tie the bow yourself to feel satisfied? Are you someone who likes to get contact info from people? Are you someone who wants to keep in touch with those folks? What do you do?
I will usually add people on Facebook, might follow them on Instagram if I had a conversation with them. And if I want to have like to actually keep in touch with them, I might ask them like, hey, can you text me the photo? And so that kind of opens that channel of communication, such that like, hey, you already have this chat going on with them. Like you could continue the conversation later.
I try to make a point to say bye to all the people I want to say bye to. So fun fact, James hates going to parties with me because I take forever to say bye to every single person.
Because
when I say bye, it's never like a bye, I'm bouncing. It's a bye, I'm so glad that we got a chance to meet, a chance to talk. And, you know, I end it with an affirmation. And sometimes that leads into like a little bit of a longer conversation. And then James is just tapping his foot being like, hey, I thought we were leaving like 15 minutes ago. So that's what I like to do to kind of tie it off to make sure that there is a lasting impression that you will remember me. I will also remember you because of all these things. And I really hope that we can keep in touch and grab food or do something together. And sometimes even I think integrity is a quality that I admire in a lot of people. So let's say in a conversation, we talked about an event, like we talked about this comedian that we both like, and they're coming into the city, following up with them being like, hey, actually, would you want to go together? And would we like to meet? Or if you already have our respective friend groups that we're going with, would you maybe want to grab dinner right before and like around that venue? And following up on those ideas that have been passed around throughout the event to really show the other person like, hey, I'm making an effort to really make sure that this relationship last in a way that I really want to take seriously. And even if, you know, like we mentioned, we have social anxiety, just because, you know, we got along really well in this one event doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have the energy to have in-depth conversations again. Just at least saying like, hey, I'm not sure if we're going to get a chance to see each other at the event, but I really wanted to say that I hope that we can meet up again at some point. It can be another way to space it out.
Oh my gosh. Tan, you are like the dream person to meet at an event. I wish I could go back in time before I knew you so we could have that like iconic first meeting in person.
Oh my goodness. Again, you're always someone who I've noticed, especially in the last couple months when you stayed over, that you really are able to build a rapport with someone in a way where even if the topic at hand isn't vulnerable or a particular depth of meaning, you're still able to help make people feel comfortable. And I think sometimes comfort is enough of an impression to give to people for them to want to talk to you a little bit more, to hear that you're open to talking later. I'm learning a lot from the tips that you've given, and I think we have different ways of approaching meaningful conversations with people. And hopefully people are able to take little bits and pieces from us.
Yeah. Tan, this is so fun. We haven't done too many episodes in this like how to blank format before. So this is something we're experimenting with. If you liked it, let us know. DM us on Instagram. We've covered so many topics on our podcast. This is like we're in the upper 100s of our episodes. Did you have any episode recommendations for people who enjoyed this episode?
Yeah. So again, this episode was all about how to have meaningful conversations. And I think my biggest message is that meaningful can mean many different things. And so I want to offer up some episodes that can be inspiration for, you know, new ideas or ways that you can engage with new folks in your life. So the first one I want to recommend is episode 158, 5 things we've learned from living together. And the reason I recommend this one is because it shows that even if you know someone for a very, very long time, there's always new stuff to learn about the other person. This is, you know, a fun little bullet points of 10 things total that we've learned about each other. Some, you know, serious things, but also some lighthearted things about how we are living at home together. And so that, I hope that that can serve as some inspiration for folks out there. The other one that I would love to recommend is episode 150, Finding Comfort and Inspiration in BTS. This was inspired by a question that I had asked Sophia, because it was a question that I've had and I didn't know the answer to. And so again, showing that there are times when I feel like I know a lot of things about Sophia, but there are also a lot of things I don't know. And something that can be as quote unquote superficial or, you know, lighthearted as BTS can actually lead to a very meaningful, thoughtful conversation. And so I hope that this can serve as inspiration for folks out there to see that, you know, a simple interest or a hobby can actually hold much more meaning than you might initially expect. And the third thing that I want to recommend is actually our Your Next Date series, because the whole premise of Your Next Date is that one guest who we're, you know, publicizing onto the internet to find them a date is going on a date with someone they know really well and someone that they have never met before. And so you hear the dynamics between two people who have never met each other before. And so hopefully that also shows you that two people who've never met before can have a really great rapport through 2 hours of a date.
What about you? God, I love these recommendations. Okay, I took a totally different approach. One thing that I love that you said was about setting intentions for meeting people and using clothing as a way to kind of like represent the mood that you want to bring and get yourself in the mood. Mm. And I think one of the episodes that talks more about that is episode 109, which is Capture and Cultivate Radical Self-Love via Portraits with our friend photographer David Tsa. And it's all about how the process of taking a portrait of yourself is really empowering, in that he encourages his clients to envision, like, what version of yourself do you want to see? And let's create an entire experience around it. Let's, you know, intentionally design the makeup and the clothes and like hang that picture up in your room so you can see that person and be reminded of how it felt to like embody those qualities. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. Mm-hmm. Another episode that I love is 110, Redefining Self-Worth Through Serendipitous Digital Connections, with our friend Serena Kim. It's really meaningful just to share honestly about what you're going through. Even if you're meeting people for the first time, like, it can actually take a really surprising and like beautiful turn in the conversation. And I think something Serena said was how there were so many like Asian American creator groups that she was like meeting, or like creators that she was meeting online, but it was those moments of like vulnerability and like real connection that she remembers, and that really launched her confidence and her friendships with people. So those are the two that came to my mind.
I love both of those episodes so much. And I think that gives our listeners a bit of a runway of things that they can listen to if they enjoyed this episode. So again, we really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If there are other things that you would like us to chip in our 2 cents on, as some particular topics or advice that you think that we could give, definitely let us know. We're not experts by no means, but we still love to share our perspectives of what's helped us in our personal lives, and also just to be able to learn from each other. So if you have any ideas or thoughts or want to discuss further, you can always DM us on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass, and consider rating and reviewing us if you've listened to a couple of our episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Spotify has this new feature where you can rate, which will also help with discoverability of our podcasts. And so if you think this podcast is an important podcast, one that you would like other people to discover, this would really particularly help us. Or if you would like to help us in a more direct way, you could also consider treating us to a coffee through our Buy Me a Coffee page. It is all linked in our episode description. And again, you have so many episodes that you could check out. Something that I just thought of that I want to recommend is that we always do about a 1 minute preview at the beginnings of our episodes. So you can always take a listen to those if you're kind of scared of committing to an hour and a half long episode. And you can just listen to the preview, see if that's something that you might be interested in, and then move on from there or continue listening. So that's another tip for you. And so with that, I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was Sophia and Tan from Bamboo and Glass, and we'll catch you next Sunday.